mind, we started the series of messages here the other night in the book of Galatians, and we considered Abraham's gospel. And we concluded that message by very clearly pointing out that you have to have heard the true gospel, Abraham's gospel, the gospel that was preached to Abraham when he was here on this earth. It's the same gospel that we preach today, the gospel, the good news of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ according to the Scriptures. And we concluded that message by pointing out that we have to have heard the gospel not just with our ears, but we have to have heard it in heart. We have to truly have been born again and be a child of the Lord. And having built on that over the past few days, we've looked at some other passages of Scripture that have challenged us in our Christian walk. And I thank the Lord for the preaching with Brother Titus and the blessing that the Lord has given through that. And I've been edified and challenged and comforted and built up through the preaching. And so as we conclude the series of meetings tonight, I want to focus on what might perhaps be keeping us from fulfilling the purpose of God in our lives. What is it that is keeping you from doing what God wants you to do? What is it that is keeping you from fulfilling the purpose of God in your life? And so tonight I would ask you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter number 3. Exodus chapter number 3, beginning in verse 7. Exodus chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the afflictions of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Now watch verse 11. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? I want to conclude this series of meetings tonight with this message and this thought. And it's a question that I pose to you. It's a question that I pose to myself. And that question is very simply this. What's my excuse? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before You tonight. We thank You for the opportunity that we've had over the past few days to get into Your Word and study Your Word and hear from You. Lord, we thank You for the finished work of Jesus Christ. We thank You for the fact that we have been born again, not of our own will, of our own ability, but we've been born again by the Spirit of God. And we thank You, Lord, that we've been brought to a place in our lives where we have been able to comprehend the truths of the gospel, not just with our head, but with our hearts. Lord, we thank You that You've washed us from our sins in the blood of the Lamb. We thank You, Lord, that You've revealed Your truths to us and caused us to desire to walk in a way that's pleasing in Your sight. Lord, this is only Your work. Lord, it's true, I trust tonight, that we have no confidence in our flesh. And Lord, if that be the case, if we ever desire to see Your purpose fulfilled in our lives, we must battle against the old nature. We must strive, Lord, that we not allow the old man to rule and reign in our hearts and in our lives. And Lord, it's very probable, very possible, that which You have for us to do individually and specifically we have used excuses for not doing it. Lord, help us. Lord, give us strength. Help us to learn from Your servant Moses and how You had a purpose in his life and calling him for this mighty task. And Lord, certainly we see that he offered up excuses. And yet You wouldn't have any of it. You worked in his life. You accomplished Your will and purpose with Your people through Your servant Moses. Lord, we want to be used of You and by You. Help us not to render excuses unto You. Lord, help us to be ready for the work. Strengthened by Christ. Fortified by the Holy Spirit. Ready to serve You. We need You. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What's my excuse? Though often maligned, few leaders have faced the challenges that Moses faced. I have known brothers and sisters that have nitpicked at Moses' character. And yet, 6 times in the Word of God, Moses is described as the man of God. God's purpose for Moses was to send him before Pharaoh to release God's people, that God's people might worship and serve Him. Moses reacted to God's life-changing directions like many of us react when we find out exactly what it is that God has purposed for our lives. He made excuses. Time and again, Moses explained to God. You get that? Moses explained to God why Moses could not do what God told him to do. And yet, it was all to no avail. I want to encourage you tonight to be steadfast and unmovable in the work of the Lord, to be ready to serve the Lord in whatever capacity He has for you, and not to fall prey to using excuses that you are not what God wants you to be. Many believers offer half-hearted excuses unto the Lord, burying talents in this earth, offering excuse after excuse. May we not fall into that category. May we really question tonight, what's my excuse? Well, we would do well to learn from the life of Moses. Moses offered up to God 3 excuses that we want to consider this evening in trying to get out of God's purpose for his life. Notice these 3 excuses. Moses, first of all, offered this excuse. He said to God, I am inadequate personally. The second excuse that he offered was that God was presenting to him an impossible proposition. The third excuse was a little bit more, it's a little bit more difficult to see, but I think if we look at the Scripture, we'll understand this. He offered up an irreproachable piety. And I'll explain what I mean by that when we get into that. 3 excuses that Moses used to try and get out of God's purpose for his life. Notice this first excuse. We find it in the text that we read in Exodus chapter number 3 and verse number 11. And that excuse is this. Moses said to God, I am inadequate personally. Notice verse 11, or verse 11. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Moses is saying unto God, who am I? Now that is a right response to say to God if we're intent in doing what God wants us to do. But it's nothing more than an excuse if we try to say to God, I'm inadequate, God. You can't use me. Because what that reveals is that we're really relying and trusting in ourselves rather than God. Who was Moses that God should use him? Who are any of us that God would use any of us? So we can all make the claim that Moses made to God when he asked God, who am I? We ought to be well established in the truths that the Apostle Paul communicated to the church at Corinth. And in 2 Corinthians chapter number 3 and verse number 5, we find that the Apostle Paul reminds us that though we be insufficient, God is entirely sufficient. Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 5, the Apostle Paul wrote, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. So what I'm saying is that Moses could rightly say to God, who am I? And yet still by the mercy and grace of God surrender himself to do what it was that God had given him to do. In other words, our insufficiency is not an excuse for not doing what God has called us to do, because none of us are sufficient in and of ourselves. So notice Moses says to God, God, I'm inadequate. Now why would Moses say this to God? I don't think that Moses just heard God issue this call and Moses, so I don't want to do that, so I'm gonna respond to God and say, you know, I'm inadequate. I believe that there were some circumstances in his background that led him to believe that he was inadequate. Notice, first of all, his present situation. Where was Moses at when God spoke this command to him? Well, look at verse number 1. Exodus chapter number 3 and verse number 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Oreb. And so we find that Moses is not in the heat of the battle. He's not in the thick of things that are going on in the lives of God's children, Israel, as they're over in Egypt. He's entirely separated, ostracized, on the backside of the desert. You ever feel like you're ostracized? Here I am with this little church in this location that nobody knows about. What can I possibly do for God? How can I make an impact in the work and service of the Lord in this little insignificant church, in this little insignificant town? What can we do? And the answer is that through the sufficiency of God, you can do a lot. But not if we make excuses. The Bible says in Acts chapter 7, verse number 30, and when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. God knew where Moses was at. God had prepared Moses for the task before him. God knew he was on the backside of the desert tending to these flocks. And so we learn a lesson. And that lesson is this. Don't let where you are at prevent you from going where God wants you. Be where God wants you to be. Do what God wants you to do in spite of your personal inadequacies. There was Moses' present situation. But then think about this. His past sins. Why was Moses where he was at? He was where he was at because he killed a guy. And he feared for his life when this was made known and discovered. And he fled from Egypt because he slew an Egyptian that was smiting one of his Hebrew brethren. You know, a lot of times our past sins keep us from moving forward in the work of God. And it's as L. Thomas Holdcroft said, the past is a guidepost, not a hitching post. And we learn from our past. And we repent of those things that we've done and sins that we've committed against God, but we don't allow it to keep us from moving forward in the work of God. Now I say this, I believe that Moses, in his objection to God, in saying to God, I'm inadequate, I believe that Moses still had a fear of going back to the land because of his past sin. And I say that because notice what the Lord says to Moses a little bit later on in Exodus chapter number 4. In Exodus chapter number 4, verse number 19, notice what the Lord says. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 19, and the Lord said unto Moses and Midian, go return into Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life. Moses perhaps was thinking that he still had those that had somewhat against him because of his past sin. And our past sins are exactly that. They're our past sins. You remember a guy in the Bible by the name of Saul of Tarsus? The Apostle Paul? Was there ever a New Testament Christian greater than the Apostle Paul? And yet the Apostle Paul, on three different occasions in the book of Acts, and also in Galatians chapter number 1, thought it necessary to point out that he was the guy that persecuted the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, imagine if the Apostle Paul had said, who am I, Lord? I can't be used of you. Look at my past. And yet the Lord would not allow that to be a hindrance in the Apostle Paul doing what it was that God had for him to do. Listen to what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verses 9 and 10. He had the right mindset when he addressed this issue. But notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 9 and 10, the Apostle Paul said, for I am the least of the apostles that am not meet to be called an apostle. Why? Because I persecuted the church of God. And here it is in verse 10. But by the grace of God I am what I am. And His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. And so the Apostle Paul is not allowing his past sin to keep him from doing what God wanted him to do. He was inadequate personally. But he yielded himself up to be used of God. And then notice this as we think about Moses offering this excuse up to God. God, I'm inadequate personally. Who am I that I should go and deliver your people? There was his present situation and his past sins. But how about this? His paltry skill set. Was Moses equipped for the job? Did he have the skills to do what God told him to do? Well, he did. But he tried to say that he didn't. Brother, would you be open to teaching Sunday school? The pastor says, I've observed you. We need somebody to step up and fill this role. Oh, I can't do it. I'm incapable of doing it. If God wants you to do it, He'll equip you for the work. Now notice what Moses says in verse number 10 of chapter number 4. Notice Moses here in verse number 10 of Exodus chapter number 4. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but Lord, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. What is Moses saying? He's saying, I can't speak. You ever hear somebody say, oh, I can't teach. God's calling me to preach, but I can't preach. Well, no, you can't preach or teach on your own. I'm slow of speech. I'm not an eloquent man. Join the crowd. God will prepare you and provide you what you need. Now, there's something that I think that we need to see about Moses and his excuse to God. There are some folks that believe that Moses had a problem with stuttering. There are some folks that believe that Moses really had a problem delivering the message and communicating. But I want you to notice a passage of Scripture in the book of Acts. When Stephen was preaching as they were getting ready to stone him, notice in Acts chapter number 7, verse number 22. Acts chapter number 7, verse number 22. In Acts chapter 7, verse number 22, notice what Stephen says as he preaches the word. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds. Now here's an interesting truth about this word here, mighty, in verse 22. If you look it up in your lexicon or in your concordance, you'll find that the word literally means capable. Moses was capable. And he said to God, I'm not capable. And oftentimes in our lives of service unto the Lord, when God has something for us to do, we say to God, we are not capable. And we're capable. God will give us the skill set that we need. God won't call us to do something that He won't equip us to do. Notice how God responded to Moses in Exodus chapter number 4, verses 11 and 12. In Exodus chapter number 4, verses 11 and 12, and the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. Do you see the pattern that's developing here? Moses is called by God to perform a work. Moses offers an excuse to God. I am inadequate personally, and God would have none of it. He said, I'll take care of you. I made the mouth. I'll give you the words to speak. What can you do? Not what can't you do, but what can you do? Because God doesn't ask you to do something you can't do. He tells you to do something and then He provides you the ability to do it. Could I ask you something? Now this is a different situation in this church. I understand that. You have capable men that have surrendered to preach. But where are all the preachers? Where are the men that are surrendering to the ministry to dedicate their lives to pastor the Lord's churches or to go out on the mission field? God still desires, you correct me if I'm wrong, but when God establishes a church, the pattern in the New Testament is that that church has a pastor. Where are the men today that are surrendering to the ministry? That are willing to go and preach the gospel and minister in churches that are in need of pastors? How many men today are surrendering to the ministry? How many men today are called of God and they offer excuses to God? I can never do that. I can't get in front of somebody and speak. I'm not an eloquent man. And God said to Moses, it's okay, you don't need to be. I'll tell you what to say. What am I going to preach on? God will tell you. God will give you the message. God will provide for you. God has never failed to give me a message to preach. This book is rich. He'll provide. What can you do? You can be like the woman who anointed the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that the Lord said concerning her in Mark chapter 14 and verse 8, she hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. She did what she could. So, the fact that we're inadequate is not an excuse. God still wants us to serve Him and be used of Him and by Him. Notice the second excuse that Moses offered up to God. He said that this, in essence, is an impossible proposition. Now, what was God asking Moses to do? God was going to send Moses before Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, to say to the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, you got to let the Lord's people go. Notice verse number 10 of chapter number 3. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Wow. This was an impossible proposition in the sight of man, but not in the sight of God. God specializes in accomplishing the impossible. God uses the small things to accomplish the impossible. God uses the small things to accomplish that which we think are insignificant. I love this thought. I can't remember where I read this, but the quote is this: if you don't think small things can make a difference, you've never been in bed with a mosquito. Small things can make a difference. And Moses is going before Pharaoh. And I would probably react the same way that Moses did. But remember what the Lord said. With men, it is impossible. But not with God. With God, all things are possible. Now think about Moses in this impossible proposition. He is called to go, first of all, because remember, he not only has to go speak to Pharaoh, but first of all, he's got to go speak to the Israelites. And so Moses is giving this excuse, these excuses to God as to why he can't do what God told him to do. And he says, by way of excuse, as he's focused on this impossible proposition, he says that he's got to go, first of all, to a hard-hearted people. Well, I can't pastor that church. That church is filled with hard-hearted people. They'll never listen to me. They won't hear what God has to say. And you don't know that. Because Moses said to God in Exodus chapter number 4, in verse number 1, watch, the Bible says in Exodus chapter 4, verse 1, and Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. He is giving an excuse as to why he cannot be involved with this impossible proposition because of hard-hearted people. They won't listen to me. Do we only go because we think that there's going to be results? Oh, be careful about that. How many converts did Isaiah have during his ministry? What did God say to Jeremiah and Ezekiel when He said, I'm sending you to my people, they're a hard-hearted people? He said, don't look at their faces. You know, you'd be preaching like that. Don't look at their faces, because some of the looks you're going to get. It's not, by the way, there are none of those looks tonight. Okay, so just stop it there. He said it in Jeremiah chapter 1 and Ezekiel chapter number 1. Man, their faces are going to be as hard as a flint. You're not going to see results. But I still want you to go. But notice here, in Moses' case, he actually ignored God's Word. Because God told him, look at this, in Exodus chapter number 3 and verse 18. Notice Exodus 3 verse 18. And they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel unto the king of Egypt, and you shall say unto them, the Lord God of the Hebrews has sent me with us, and now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. So you see what Moses did here? After God told him the people would listen, he in essence said to God, "You're wrong. I know these people. They're not going to listen." Well, they were going to listen. Notice God confirms that they're going to listen. Because in Exodus chapter number 4, and we won't take the time to read all of these passages, but in verses 2 through 8, we find that the Lord confirmed it to Moses by Moses casting down the rod and it became a serpent. And then he grabbed it by the tail and it became a rod again. And then he said, "Stick your hand in there," and it came out as white as snow with leprosy. And he stuck it in again and it came out cured. And he said, "If that's not enough, then go over to the river and grab some water and it'll be his blood. And then it'll turn back." And so God is confirming to Moses that these people, they might be hard-hearted people, but they're going to listen. You know, sometimes we do have to deal with hard-hearted people. My daughter last year sent me a text or something, and she said she saw a figure where 97% of pastors are at some point betrayed by church members or family members. And I told her that that number was way low. That it's a lot higher than 97%. And again, so? Big deal. Are we only going for the results? Are we only going because we think that there's going to be some kind of success? We go because God told us to go. We do what God tells us to do. Why on earth would somebody to surrender to preach the gospel? Why would somebody leave a good paying job to go someplace else where they don't know what lies ahead of them? Because God said so. Because God's got a purpose. Because God is working and He's doing something in and through His people. Notice, these were hard-hearted people that Moses tried to use as an excuse, but also heavy-handed Pharaoh. He's saying to the Lord, "Yeah, I got to go before Pharaoh." You know Pharaoh. What was the character of Pharaoh? Pharaoh is the prototypical reprobate. Study the life of Pharaoh. Pharaoh acted just like the reprobate acts today. And yet, God said, "You're going to go." In fact, notice, God, knowing this, actually reduced the expectations for Moses. Because in Exodus chapter number 3, notice verses 19 and 20, the Lord is straightforward with Moses. In Exodus chapter 3, verses 19 and 20, the Bible says, "And I'm sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand, and I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof, and after that he will let you go." So it doesn't matter whether he has to go before a heavy-handed Pharaoh. You know, we ought to be encouraged by the Scriptures, and we ought to occasionally go back and remind ourselves that the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. And as the rivers of water, He, God, turneth it whithersoever He will. God is capable. God is able. So Moses is listening to God give him this task. And he says, "You know, God, I'm inadequate personally. God, this is an impossible proposition." But notice this third excuse that Moses offered up. And this one might be a little bit more difficult for you to see, but it's here. Notice that he offers up this excuse, irreproachable piety. And notice what I mean by that in verse number 13 of chapter number 4. "And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send." What is Moses saying? What's the meaning of this? Moses is attempting to sway God by his feigned humility. "Oh God, I'm inadequate. It's an impossible task. Surely you have someone else that is more fit and more capable, and you don't want to use a sinful wretch like me. So Lord, find somebody that you want to use and send them. Now this is the opposite of what Isaiah said. Because Isaiah said, woe is me, I'm undone. And then a little bit later on, he said, in spite of that, here am I, send me. And so Moses is offering up this excuse to God, irreproachable piety. Matthew Henry comments this way on this passage. Henry writes, Moses still continues backward to the service for which God had designed him, even to a fault. For now we can no longer impute it to his humility and modesty, but must own that here was too much of cowardice, slothfulness, and unbelief in it. So Moses is finally at the point where every excuse he's offered to God, God has combated that and said, I'll take care of you. I'll make sure that you can do what I want you to do. And then finally, Moses tries the irreproachable piety. Oh God, I'm not fit. Choose whom you will, who you will send. And the fact of the matter is that God was choosing him. Do we understand that we can't defraud God? We're unable to pull the wool over God's eyes. When we surrender for service, we must be careful that we're not offering up excuses for why we can't do what God told us to do. Look at this in the New Testament, Luke chapter number 9. And again, a very familiar passage of Scripture. And I'm trying to encourage you tonight in the last message that I'll be preaching not to allow excuses to keep you from doing what God has for you to do. You can make a difference. You can do great things as a church and individually for God as we are empowered by God. Notice Luke chapter number 9, verse 57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Well, that would be good if that's where it ended. But notice verse 58. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Now watch the response. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And the idea here is that their custom was that he would wait for the father to die. So it wasn't like the father was dead and they're going to have the funeral tomorrow and, hey, I'm going to go take care of that and then I'm going to follow you, Lord. This is an excuse. Notice verse 60. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home in my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Is it wrong to go to your loved one's funeral? Obviously not. Is it wrong to go bid your loved one's farewell? Obviously not. But when you're going to use that as an excuse as to why you can't do what God told you to do, it's wrong. And so these folks are saying, I want to serve God. Okay, you got to be prepared because it's going to be a rough life. That's what the Lord says here as He says that He didn't have a place to lay His head. Well, some went back. Oh, Lord, I'll go. But let me do this first. Lord, I'm going to serve You. But you know, let me retire from my secular job first. God, I'm going to serve You, but let me do this first. But why don't you flip that around? But why don't you let God change your plans? David wanted to build a house for God. The man of God, Nathan, told him to do it. Nathan was wrong. God said, that's not what I got for you to do. He changed His plans. Are you willing to have your plans changed to be used of the Lord? We can't defraud God. It's displeasing to God. Notice the Lord's response. In Exodus chapter number 4 and verse number 14, after Moses offers this excuse to him, in Exodus chapter number 4, verse number 14, "And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And He said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart." Again, God's not having any of it. Moses had now offered up four times to the Lord, answered four times, presenting excuses to the Lord, and the Lord would have none of it. George Washington Carver said 99% of the failures come from people who have the habit of making excuses. Ben Franklin, "He that is good for making excuses is seldom good for anything else." So, what's your excuse? God's got a purpose for your life. If He didn't, He'd call you home right now. What's your excuse? Do what God told you to do. Moses says to God, "I'm inadequate personally. This is an impossible proposition." And then he tried irreproachable piety, and God would have none of it. He had a purpose in using Moses. Now, Moses had a tough road to hoe, but God was with him. And I think that if you look in the Old Testament, you're going to find that Moses is an example of leadership. In spite of everything that he faced, he stood true, and yeah, he got angry. And God held him accountable for that in that one occasion. But he served God in spite of the excuses that he offered. God finally got him to the place where he did what God wanted him to do. Now we're going to leave the services tonight. We're going to go back to our church. You folks are going to continue on here. What is God going to do through Independence Baptist Church? And what are you, the members of Independence Baptist Church, going to do that God has for you to do? Are you going to make excuses? What's your excuse? God will use you in His service. I commend you, I encourage you, and I exhort you to continue on in the things of the Lord. Brother Wayne.